Well, as I was looking at our reading out of 2 Timothy, the word that leaped out at me, and there are many, obviously, very significant words in there, but the word that leaped out at me was ashamed. And I thought, that's a very interesting word, and it's one of those things that we need to pay attention to. It's something that we need to deal with. Shame is, well, there's lots of different definitions for shame, and I think one that gets to the core of it as much as anything is that shame is regret turned corrosive. We all have regrets. It's impossible not to have regrets. Because when you look in the past, everybody's had at least one opportunity to choose between two things, and you chose one. And when you look back, you may say, well, if I would have chosen that other one, this may have happened. And a long time ago, Heather and I, when we were just in sort of conversation, we began to draw a distinction between two different kinds of regrets, and it does connect at least eventually. We talked about the difference between sort of regular regrets and corrosive regrets. Because a regular regret for us is, you know, you could have gone to this movie or that movie, and you chose to go to this movie, and it was okay, but it turned out your friends had gone to this other one, and you could have seen a movie together. Is this the kind of regret that keeps you up at night? No. It's not the kind of regret that 25 years later, when it strikes you out of the corner of your memory, makes you physically wince. Those are different kinds of regrets, and those are the kind of regrets that can become corrosive. And a corrosive regret is one that affects your ongoing day-to-day life, that changes who you are, that sort of eats away at you because it's corrosive. And shame is the same kind of thing. Shame is unbelievably powerful. It's one of the reasons why it's turned to so often to control other people's behavior, whether it's our children or each other or anything else. Telling someone they should be ashamed of something is a powerful message, because what it says is that something has happened that you're responsible for that's really problematic, that it should change how you feel about yourself. People who are dealing with shame are also dealing with a bunch of things that come with it. A sense of self begins to be eroded and all the rest of it. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you simply ignore things you've done in the past that people are telling you are shameful. It means you deal with them rather than simply dealing with the shame that comes out of it, rather than simply living in that shadow. So what is Paul getting on about here when he talks about being ashamed? Well, as I was looking at it, I was trying to see, where does this connect with sort of who Timothy was and who Paul was? And yes, the scholars have got lots of conversation around, was did Paul actually write it or whatever, and to whom, and does the chronology work with Lois and Eunice and then Timothy? Is that long enough? All of those things. It was very interesting. It was distracting in some ways. It was so interesting. But as I was looking at, where's the connection here? What's happening? Why would Paul say, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner? And I thought, we are ashamed of those things if we're looking at them from the perspective of, I'm admitting that I know someone who's done something wrong. Which makes sense, maybe, when Paul says, don't be ashamed of Paul being a prisoner. But how on earth would you be ashamed to testify about our Lord? Like, where does that come in if our definition is you're connected with someone who's done something bad? Well, obviously, then there's something else going on. Where does this shame come in from? And where the connection that I drew was the verse right before. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. And I think, in some ways, timidity and being ashamed are connected in that they go together. And I still haven't figured this out entirely, demonstrating once again that I don't always have everything together when I'm standing up here. And sometimes I'm working things out even as we're thinking about it. But it struck me again this morning as I was listening to Peggy read it, that timidity is something that makes you step away from what you know you should do. Because that's what being timid means. It doesn't mean that you, if you're driving at 30 kilometers an hour in the city, it's possible for someone to say you are being timid. It's also possible that you have noticed the new 30 kilometer an hour school zone and the other person hasn't. Are you being timid? No, you're doing what you're supposed to. It's somebody else's misunderstanding. If a couple of blocks down the way after the school zone has ended, you're still driving 30, but you think it's still there, you're still not being timid. You're just, in this case, ignorant of what the actual speed limit is. So timidity and actions aren't always immediately obvious. Timidity is when you know that this is what you can or should do, and you don't do it. Well, why would timidity and being ashamed come together? And I think part of it is because we are concerned, we are afraid that if we talk boldly about some of the things we know about God and they don't happen, we'll be embarrassed. We will worry what other people will think. If we talk about this friend of ours, this great teacher, this person who knows so many things and has taught me so much and has had such an incredible influence on my life, and they say, well, that's fabulous. Can we meet them? I said, well, no, you can't. Oh, where are they? Well, they're in jail. That would be an odd thing to drop on somebody, wouldn't it? So you can see where this would come from, but it comes from not this sense of the rest of verse 7, a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, but it comes from what Paul's warning against, but timidity. And as I was thinking of this, I thought, well, where am I timid? Because of course I am, about something. Everybody is about something. Where is it when I know that I should do something and I don't? And in particular, is there anything that relates to Paul's charge to Timothy, a leader in the church, that sort of thing, where I might say, well, I think I should respond here, but I don't? And of course, once I said, well, there must be something that I'm timid about, and then my reasonably robust self-esteem stepped in and said, well, of course not. There isn't anything like that. You never do that. And I said, no, but I do. There are times when people are reasonably good-naturedly, but are poking fun at people of faith. And there are times when I have thought I could respond to that. But if they push me in this particular direction about particular people I self-identified as people of faith in the news, I don't want to have to talk about that. That's not taking the high road, no matter how much I might want to tell myself that, oh no, I don't want to cause dissension. It's timidity. And it's timidity because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to answer questions I don't want to about people who say they're of the same faith that I am, but have made extravagant remarks that probably were taken out of context, or maybe they didn't really think through, or whatever else it might be. But instead of going through putting in that kind of work, I just stay silent. Well, I don't like to think of myself that way, but that's why the Bible is so wonderful, is because if I believe it, it's the word of God, and I do, sometimes I'm pushed to say yes. I was acting as if I were ashamed of what other people are and say who are in the same group that I am. And so rather than defending them, if not necessarily defending what they say, I was silent. Well, as I thought about that, I thought, how many other times has it been that I have skirted the opportunity to pray for someone? Because what if what we pray for doesn't happen? And then I have to defend God, which is hard to do. And then I thought, well, no, the issue isn't defending God. The issue is looking silly. Am I ashamed of God who doesn't always do what I want God to do? Even things that I think most of us would agree are good. Well, I'm not sure. I think that's part of what Paul is talking to Timothy about. And that's why he begins with saying that God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. And not just power, but of love and self-discipline, because unrestrained power is just destructive. But power that's under self-discipline and exercised for love is something altogether different and allows us to speak powerfully when we need to and allows us to not be afraid that perhaps what we pray for won't be answered in exactly the way that we want it to, but we still know God heard and will answer. And so as I looked at this, I was under a certain amount of conviction, and I said, am I? Could Paul write me this letter? And I realized that yes, Paul could. And in a very real sense, through the mysterious agency of the Holy Spirit and the living scripture we have, Paul did. And reminded me that I can, if I'm not careful, be ashamed. Because of my own fears, because of my own timidity. And so I'm certainly not going to project that on anyone, but it's not out of the question that there have been opportunities for you also. And perhaps you've had that same thought process or a similar one. And the answer isn't heaping more shame upon ourselves. The answer is to go to God and say, I know what I need to do. What I need is more of that spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And ask for it. Because a loving God does give us what we need. And does answer our prayers, even if we don't always get the answer exactly the way we want, and doesn't always respond in the time frame we want. But we do believe in a powerful, all-knowing, loving God. And we don't have to be ashamed, and we're not supposed to be ashamed. And if we are, the answer isn't to hide it, but the answer is to ask for this power. Come with the love and self-discipline that we need to speak and do the things that we know we need to do, regardless of our concerns about the outcome. Amen.